We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Stacy Jones. Stacy Jones is the CEO of Hollywood Branded, an LA influencer marketing, branded content, and product placement agency. She has 23 years of leadership experience building global branded content campaigns for top Fortune 500 companies and hundreds of brands, including BlackBerry, Bumble, Canadian Club, and Pilot Pen. Acknowledged as an expert in the field, she has appeared on top media outlets and spoken at conferences around the globe and hosts the podcast Marketing Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Lori, thank you so much for that kind introduction and for having me here today. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here as well, because obviously we met through networking, and that's what I love, having guests that I meet through networking on my show about networking, right?
We absolutely did. I think we belong to a great networking group, in fact.
Yes, we do. Agency Management Institute has been one of my favorite activities to participate in professionally.
I agree.
So let's talk about influencer marketing a little bit, because obviously this is a huge topic in today's digital space. What are some of the biggest mistakes that brands are making when approaching influencer marketing?
Oh, there's some ones that are made repeatedly. It's like on a rinse and repeat cycle, and I keep on seeing companies do it, and I wish they wouldn't. And that number one would be thinking that a influencer is going to automatically, if it's going to be successful, sell your products off the shelves and you are just going to have instant success, because that is not what influencer marketing is about. Influencer marketing is about creating a voice, creating brand awareness, creating awareness that you can heighten amongst someone else's audience to grow from. And it is not about how many downloads did you get and how much sales you made. So I think that's one of the biggest mistakes, is brands enter influencer marketing thinking that they are going to find someone to just magically make things happen for them, when really influencer marketing is about building a campaign that's ongoing, leveraging that influencer, hopefully multiple times, but also other influencers that touch your consumers that you're desiring to get in front of, so that a consumer might be on one social platform with one influencer and learn about your brand and go somewhere else and be on someone else's platform and also learn more about your brand. And it just is one of those authentic ways to truly engage and grow. Another concern that I think is a big mistake that brands often make with influencer marketing is that they go in thinking that they should control all of the messaging. I mean, whether it is a tiny little influencer with under 10,000 followers, and one all of us like to be like, oh yeah, I have 10,000 followers. It takes some talent even to be, a nano influencer who has hundreds to thousands of followers? Or is it someone who is a micro influencer who might have up to 30 to 50,000 followers, or a professional who is an influencer or a macro influencer who has hundreds of thousands of followers, or a celebrity influencer who now has millions of followers? All of these people know how to create content and what will and what will not turn off their follower base. And brands who come in and who are kind of blowhards about it and say, oh, this is how you need to position me, this is how I need to be seen, this is exactly what you need to do, this is the language you need to use, they're missing out on what the power of influencer marketing actually is. And that's to leverage these individuals to actually be a creative solution where they become an extension of your brand to create that content, to be the director, the writer, the producer, the actor, the set decorator, the editor, the cameraman, all of those things that are going to create this content in a way that they know is going to best engage their audience. So I'd say those are the two biggest issues.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of really good input that you offered. And hopefully our listeners find some strong takeaways from that. I agree. And I love your first one here, that it's not going to sell your products immediately, right? Or you're not going to automatically have this faucet of ongoing sales coming in. I think with the word marketing, I see this as well. People think, oh, as soon as you turn on a website, I'm magically going to make all this money, right? And it doesn't happen. It takes time, no matter what initiative and what platform you leverage for getting your brand messaging out there, right? It doesn't happen overnight.
It takes time and it takes pivoting, right? So if you're a new brand to influencer marketing and you try something and it doesn't work, just means that strategy didn't work. Not all of influencer marketing didn't work. Mm-hmm. You just need to learn to pivot and try different things and different influencers, just like you would do with literally any advertising or marketing tactic.
Yeah. I think it's important too, your second point with regards to letting that influencer control the message, because their audience is going to know if it was not their voice, right? I mean, then that's going to be a turnoff, and then it's not going to be a winning situation at the end of the day. Is that a correct assumption?
It's absolutely. And the last thing the influencer wants to do is to turn off their very hard won base of followers. I mean, they're going to shut down a brand deal before they allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So how do you determine costs for a single influencer post or a campaign?
Sure. So we try to approach it in a very methodical way that is complete nonsense in many ways, because there is no actual rate card that's out there for everything. So we've come up with the least nonsense way that we think it exists, which is using a cost per thousand basis. And cost per thousand, that's a CPM. So for every 1,000 followers an influencer has, we set a ballpark figure. And then that figure ranges based on what is the influencer actually doing. You know, I just mentioned all these things, the creative hats and the multiple hats that the influencer has to put on in order to execute this campaign. But are they actually creating a video, or are they doing a still shoot? Is it something that they actually need to get themselves gussied up for? Because that is an extra thing. They're not just showing up in a picture and having your brand shown with them, and they haven't spent quite some time getting ready and prepared for that, whether it's clothes, whether it's makeup, whether it's finding the outside area to stand out and be unique. All of these are parts of it. And then if you start doing multiple posts, that comes in as well. So all of that comes in. You really should be looking at a minimum of $5 to up to $30 for every 1,000 followers an influencer has. And it's totally driven by what the campaign is and the type of content they're making, as well as their engagement levels. Engagement levels are super important, because you might think that you have this hot, awesome influencer and they have 500,000 followers, and you actually look at one of their recent posts, or 10 of their recent posts is the best way to go about it, and you see that they barely have anyone liking and commenting, which means that those 500,000 followers, most of them are probably fake followers, which is a scam a lot of influencers can do in order to kind of build up and make it look like they have more followers than they have.
Interesting. But a really good way to break it down, and I could totally understand how it's not a perfect science. It's more of an art, it sounds like, to pricing this to some degree. But definitely some good points to look at. What exactly is the influencer doing? And then auditing the validity of the account to some degree and their followership. Good insight. So when you're establishing these relationships with the influencers, how do you safeguard that partnership and ensure that it doesn't, you know, turn into a negative situation by any means?
Sure. You're going to want to put everything down in writing. You want to have a contract. You want to include in that contract how long that post is going to show up and stay up on their pages. I mean, don't think that once they've posted that it's going to live there forever, because influencers like going through and cleaning their account. And sometimes the day after you've paid is when they decide to clean their account and take your post down. So you don't want that to happen. You want to be able to make sure that you're contracting for at least a couple of weeks' time for that post to stay. And don't go in with the mindset that, oh, it needs to live there forever or for 3 months or 6 months or 9 months, because know that if you're working with an influencer who is actively posting, your post is moving further and further down their feed, and people are not going 40 lines down to see what someone's done before. That's just not what happens. So that's something that you need to contract. You also need to contract in the fact that your influencer is mandated by our federal government, by the FTC, to use hashtag ad, hashtag sponsor, some sort of identifier that this is a paid campaign, whether you are giving them something of value or whether you are paying them actual cash money. That is the law. And I know a lot of brands worry about the fact that, oh, if these influencers' fan bases see that this is a paid campaign, they're going to think it's less authentic. But that's not the case. I mean, fans of influencers pretty much think that everything's paid, even when it's not. So that's already the number one assumption. And you don't want to deal with a fine with the government and dealing with all of the rigmarole that goes with that if you are not mandating that. And if you have a contract that says that this is required and the influencer still doesn't do it and you do best efforts, you're going to be safeguarding yourself from that. You also want to make sure that you include in there your hashtags, what sites you want included, such as your website, if that's what the call out is, if there's any language or verbiage that's very specific to you. You just want to make sure everything's very clear. And then one of the most important things, I think, at least from a management standpoint, is you want to make sure that you put a time frame of when the post needs to happen. The influencer is not going to be able to rush and overnight post something in most cases. It's not that you're going to do the deal, put everything in a box, ship it overnight, and the next day they're going to actually create this content and post it. Not realistic. But you do want to have a time frame in there where you all know that the campaign is going to happen and when it's going to happen by. So you're not just sitting there all floaty and waiting and hoping and saying, oh, maybe any day it's going to happen now. So that's why that's important.
Wow, that's a lot of really good tips and pieces of advice. Thank you so much. It totally makes sense to have it all in writing and to really define the scope of the engagement, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to minimize any sort of gray areas, make it as black and white of a relationship as possible.
100%. You are absolutely right.
So obviously the show here is all about networking. So let's talk a little bit about that. And I think the influencer side of things and networking does go hand in hand in a lot of different angles. But let's start by you sharing with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had.
You know, I think that agency networking is one of the most powerful things I've done, whether that is with small groups of fellow agency owners where we can go in and share, you know, and hash out the good, the bad, and the ugly and learn from that. But it's also allowed me to meet some really incredible people. And one of those people is a gentleman named Stephen Wessner, who actually has a business doing podcasts. And it was through him that I actually started my own podcast. And the reason why I have to thank him, it's not that we're working with him. You know, I read his book. It's a phenomenal book. I will just give it a shout out right now. But it really is. If you have an interest in podcasting for business growth, it's fantastic. But it's because I was already doing a podcast myself, a solo podcast, talking about hints and tips and tricks of how to leverage your influencer marketing and branded content and celebrity endorsements. And I was writing blogs. We've written hundreds and hundreds of blogs, and we actually get a lot of traffic from those. But what I wasn't doing was interviewing other people, Laurie, like you're doing today. And that networking, that experience, that learning that I've done through that from courses and just from being with him at different events and watching him speak and getting a chance to speak with him more, it opens up a world of being able to work with people at who are on the same level and are as driven as you are, who are trying to excel in life and who really are great peers to associate with and who really manage to help you be even more driven every day with each conversation that you have and each opportunity of learning. So that is my networking story.
I love it. And I know Stephen very well. He's in my agency group. He's been on this show. I don't have the exact episode number, but he is fantastic. He has amazing insight, especially around producing content that really helps to showcase expertise. Great story. And I agree with you 100%. The impact of aligning yourself with others that are in your space, like the agency networking group that we're in, and how it really does elevate and motivate and inspire all of us to be the best that we can be. Nice. Thank you for sharing that. So your network is fairly large, I'd imagine, as you help brands align with influencers. I mean, you know, in individuals large and small, as you kind of spoke to a little bit, how do you nurture these relationships and this network that you've established?
Sure. And we have so many different networks that zig and zag all over the place, right? So we have the Hollywood Community Network. So producers, directors, prop masters, set decorators, transportation captains, stylists, all of those people who make decisions on what brands appear on their sets every day. And that's something that, you know, we have to nurture. That's where our relationships come from. It's a reputation business. And so that's really about nurturing and providing, assistance when there's needed, education where you can help, and being there and in the conversation so that you can keep your pulse on what's going on. You know, and then you go over into the world of talent managers and agents and influencers directly and all of those people. And that's another entire network. And with them, we also try to really focus on education and we do surveys and we try to keep a communication ongoing so that we can be a resource that's valuable. And that's really how we try to strengthen that network. And then going over into the whole brand and agency community, we network nonstop there because, you know, that's how we make money. That's who pays us. And we also have the same approach that we've done across the productions and across the influencers, where we are trying to provide value of education and help and assistance and insight so that others can learn and continue growing themselves, as well as just being there and able to help answer questions that come up and being very helpful, very much so like helpful Honda people. That's the goal and mission of networking for us.
I think that's great. I mean, regardless of which way you are zigging or zagging, what network you're supporting, the common theme that I heard is that you're helping and you're educating. And that's really a fantastic way to remind people that you're there and you're a resource and you're willing to just help, right? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. 100%.
Stacey, what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Oh, well, if you're looking to grow, you know, get involved and you know, it used to be that it was just about going to networking events and glad handling and talking to people. And I think that we've really switched over into a lot more digital versus in person in some cases. And I think both of them really play a very, very important part into this. Creating a first impression, creating a first relationship with someone. Now, nothing can really be beaten from doing that in person. You can't do that over an email to the same level that you can do in front of people. So getting out there and actually finding places that you can go and learn from and hear and get educated and meet with people. And maybe you're going somewhere and you're listening to a lecture and it's at this networking event and you don't have the chance to actually meet the person who is a lecturer. Well, the best thing you could possibly do is follow up through social media and reach out Start following their platform, start commenting, send them an email, drop them an article that you thought they'd like, create that type of bond, and you're going to stand out from all those other people that they were talking to at that event, and they're going to remember who you are. So that's what I would suggest.
Well, I think it's a great tip. The majority of the time when you are at a conference and there's a speaker, they're going to say, this is how you can connect with me, right? Here's my Twitter handle. Or here's my LinkedIn profile. So why not take that next step, because they've given you that open invitation, and then be a resource. That's fantastic. I love it. So you touched on digital networking real briefly with regards to, you know, the shift that's happening in our world. And obviously that's very much what your world is about. But when it comes to networking, do you find more value in digital or traditional networking?
So for sheer usage of time, I like digital, because there's only so many hours in the day, right? So only so many places that you go. So for traditional networking, I'm very selective now in what I will attend and where I'll spend my time, because at the end of the day, it has to be an event and an opportunity where I'm going to learn and or I'm going to be able to give value to other people and at the same time learn in return, versus just wandering around. I'm too far into my career now to just want to kind of poke around and wander and look. So I like digital in the fact that you can connect, you can learn, you can chat, you can share. We all have these fantastic social platforms. LinkedIn is so powerful. And you can really build a community around yourself, and I'm going to keep on going back into saying helping other people, educating other people, finding ways that you can provide value. That's my mantra right now, seemingly. But that's where I think the most explosive growth and opportunity to grow truly is, versus smaller events that can be a little bit more limited.
No, that's good. I like that. And it's really important. The common theme I heard was all about time, you know, in the digital side of things. You can be really efficient and have a wider reach in a smaller time period, but traditional, really understanding the value of your time. And I like how you phrased it. Am I going to be able to learn something or give value to this? And that's a really good way to kind of, to your litmus test, you know, is this a good event that I should go to or not, to some degree?
Yeah. And people may think you're crazy at 2 a.m. by, you know, lighting up their social platforms or sending emails. But if that's the time you have, you know, make it work for you. That works.
You know, I think it's more acceptable today than it was a few years ago. You know, this morning I woke up and I had a text message from a colleague, a networking individual, and she sent it at 1:30 a.m. But I'm totally fine with it because I don't keep my phone in my room.
Right. And maybe she was actually texting you from Europe, where it was an appropriate time. So yes. Now no one knows where you actually are ever.
This is very true. She had text and sent an email at the same time once I dove in a little bit further. But I'm fine with it. Right. And I responded, and I knew that I wake up early and she's a night owl. So she was not awake when I was responding, but I definitely pinged her back. But yeah, I don't think that matters what time you are executing these things, as long as you are moving forward and making progress on them. All right, so let's dive into another fun question here. Stacey, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I think I wish that I had infused myself with more confidence at the time. I think that's something that when you're starting out in your career, that's something that's usually sorely lacking, because you haven't developed the confidence, because you haven't developed the expertise to actually know that you're moving forward in the right direction. I think I also would have taken more risks. I would have actually left a company that I ran earlier and started my agency probably 4 years before I actually did. So, you know, I've always lived by the fact for my professional career, and I really try to teach this to my team as well, that no matter what you're doing and what direction you're going, if you give it your all, and you put your purpose behind what you're doing and you find solutions to anything that pops up along the way and you just doggedly pursue looking for solutions, finding fixes for things that are broken, you will be rewarded so much so, not only monetarily, and it will happen, but you will be rewarded because you will learn how to do all these things. And then all of a sudden, that confidence that you don't have as a 20-year-old, you will have, and it will be real, and you will be able to shine.
I love that. That's such a positive message to share. Thank you for doing that. Hopefully our listeners appreciate it as well. There's a lot of truth to that. And I never really thought about it that way as far as that level of confidence really just comes down to the lack of experience to some degree. But that's what growth is all about, right?
It is. And you have to do in order to grow and you have to continue growing and to keep on doing. So, you know, you pivot throughout life.
Isn't that the truth? Okay, Stacey, I love asking my guests, how are they continuing to educate? Obviously, you have a theme around educating and providing value. How are you educating yourself? Is it through podcasts or books? You know, what are you listening to or reading right now?
Sure. So I read a lot, and I've actually finally embraced Audible and listening to books instead of reading. And that was a really, really hard thing for me to do because I love the written word. I really do. Mm-hmm. So I have been reading, I think I'm on my, or listening to, right? My fourth or fifth or sixth attempt now, nonstop, because I am fixated on this book. It's You Are a Badass at Making Money, Master the Mindset of Wealth. And it's by Jen Sincero. I think that's how you say her name.
Yep.
And it's just so positive. And have you read the book?
I read her first one, You Are a Badass, not the one with the
badass.
Money. Yeah. And I need to read that because you're the second person in the last couple of weeks that has commented on that specific book. So,
yeah. So it's all about, it's Abraham and Hicks, Esther Hicks. It's Law of Attraction. It's Tony Robbins. It's all of those things that are out there that tell you to set a goal, have positive intentions, and, you know, the universe will open up to you as long as you are on the same wavelength, you know, and we hear that and we see that. And I know for a fact that it works. It's just trying to remind yourself in the daily life when you get so busy and you're going that sometimes what you're putting out there to the universe while you're receiving all these things that maybe you didn't like, it's because of how you're putting it out to the universe or what you're not intentionally doing and sabotaging yourself in different ways. So it's just one of those books that helps you remember and finesse a little bit more about specifically projecting what your wants are and desires so that you can be open to receiving those in return.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Good reminders as well. I'm definitely a big fan of being positive with your intentions, but also reminding ourselves that we can accomplish these goals that we have, right? And just being positive about it at the end of the day. So
yeah. And it's hard being positive all the time and just being like, oh, I'm positive. I am positive. I'm positive. I'm happy. I mean, that's not life, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also about what are the images that you're putting in your mind, right? You know, when I have found myself over the years constantly saying, I'm like one of those clown punching bags that you hit me and I just pop up. You hit me, I pop up. You hit me, I pop up. It's like this never I pop up, I pop up, I pop up. Well, I have now put it out in the universe. I've realized that I am excellent at popping up. But the truth is, I don't want to have to pop up.
Right.
So I need to actually change my vision of me as that punching bag and instead be the woman with the punching glove on who's punching down my obstacles in the way.
Nice.
So it's just about little mindsets.
Yeah, that's a really good visual to and to pivot, as you said, the thinking on that. Really cool. Thanks. Stacey, do you have any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
just be authentic and don't be salesy. You know, no one wants to hear you asking all the time for money because that's what it comes down to, right? So look for ways that you can actually help others. Put that out there. Don't worry about the fact that you're giving away free advice. You're giving away your free ideas. You're giving away your free. And know that as you engage, as you give, it's going to be returned to you because you're going to start developing authentic relationships with other people, whether it's through your writing, your voice, through your actual conversations and relationships that you develop. And people want authenticity. They want the ability to know that they are working with or going to work with someone that they actually respect. And that's what you need to go after.
Yeah, I love that. So powerful. And I agree 100%. I mean, especially in today's digital world, there really is no secret recipe anymore. So why not be the one that is sharing the recipe as opposed to having someone else be the giver? So definitely an advocate of sharing. Good advice. Okay, Stacey. So if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
Sure. The best way to reach me is at Stacey, S-T-A-C-Y, at hollywoodbranded.com. You can also find all of my contact information on my company website, hollywoodbranded.com, along with classes that you can take if you do have interest in influencer marketing. We have some great how-to, easy-to-digest tidbits that you can learn from, as well as our blog, which offers hundreds and hundreds of reading opportunities that are not on Audible yet that you can read and take to heart and learn from.
Awesome. We will include all of that information in the show notes. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Stacey.
Lori, thank you so much for having me. Greatly enjoyed my time.
Great conversations, indeed. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Stacey Jones for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.